afternoon, everybody. I would like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, May 24th. Can we have roll call, please?
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Hyman?
Here.
Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney?
Here.
Alternate Dennis Whalen is absent. Vice Chair Smith? Absent. And Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
Item B1, the meeting minutes.
I'll move for approval of the meeting minutes of April 12th.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yes, Chair, I just wanted to thank the recording clerk for taking all those notes on all of our comments on the zoning ordinance. That was much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I went through it. I didn't find anything. Anybody else? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item B2, Planning Director Report.
Good afternoon, Chair and Board members. Just as summer is approaching, wanted to remind you that July we have one meeting and August we have one meeting. So if there's any plans on your end that you might give us a heads up just so we have a quorum, since we only have one meeting that, in those months. And also next month, June, you have two meetings, the 14th and the 28th. I will not be here on the 14th, and we will have our planning manager, Lisa Prossi, to staff the meeting.
Which meetings in July and August? The first one?
It's the second one. So July 26th and August 23rd, you will have a meeting. So the first one will be canceled in July and first meeting in August.
Okay.
And your meetings are always on the second and fourth Tuesdays.
Right. Okay. Okay, got it. Item C, review of agenda and projected agenda.
Okay, today your agenda, we have continuance requests by applicants for item F1, the Hampton Inn facade and exterior color change improvements, and also item H3, which is the Harvest Hill Ranch Lot 5 single family dwelling. And both of those have been requested by the applicant for continuance to June 28th.
Okay, can I get a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Chair, I just had one question. Particularly under the Harvest Hill Ranch, I noticed that it pretty much routinely gets moved. How long can continuances last for? Is it indefinite continuance?
Well, if we continue to a date certain, we can continue it. We did notify the applicant that if they're not ready by this time, that we would probably pull it off the calendar and renotice. They had a switch in architect. That's primarily the reason for the delay.
Thank you.
Really? Okay. Item B, public comment. This time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to speak at this time? All right, seeing none, we'll move to item E1 of the sign calendar.
Yes, Mr. Chair, sign subcommittee met today, and item E1, 5970 Daly Street. The motion is to reduce the north building's wall sign to no larger than the Daly Street sign, which is 55 square feet. Eliminate the Steam Master Flooring Center text. Reduce the... Oh, and that sign would be non-illuminated. And reduce the entrance text at the entry doors to fit in the glass panel above the entry doors. And that was a motion to approve with those conditions.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Well, I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Item E2, 175 North Fairview, Sprouts Farmers Market. We reviewed that and had no comments, so the motion is to approve as submitted. Final approval as submitted.
Excellent.
I'll make such a motion to approve.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Terrific. Item F1 was continued, so that takes us to item G1. Madam Secretary?
Item G1 is the Kriz Residential Edition. It's located at 6268 Stowe Canyon Road, case number 16054 DRB.
I did not visit the site, and I've not had any ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I drove by the site, no ex parte.
No site visit and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Kathy?
Good afternoon, Chair Branch, members of the board. Today, this is a residential addition proposal, and it is coming before you just for a conceptual review. Existing is a 1,464 square foot one story single family residence and an attached 409 square foot garage. The proposal includes an 880 square foot one story addition to the front and side of the residence. The total habitable square footage will be 2,344 square feet. The property is below the maximum recommended allowable floor area for this lot at 2,755 square feet. And then plus the allocation of the 440 square foot garage. Today we have Jill, who is the designer. Sorry, your last name, Jill?
Horton,
thank you. And I'll have Jill go through the particulars of the design and colors and discuss the layout.
Great, thank you. Name for the record and tell us all about it.
My name is Jill Horton, and I'm the drafter and agent for the owners. And they just wanted to add a bedroom and expand another bedroom and add a bathroom. They've got three kids, two twin girls, that they need to separate bedrooms and expand the kitchen and family room.
That's it?
That's it.
Any questions from the board?
I have one. On sheet A1.2, which is the roof plan, it appears as though the at the end of the gables, the overhang at the corners is slightly less than the overhang at the ridge, fairly consistently on the existing house, and yet on the proposed, I don't see that.
Yes.
Is that
they just wanted to have that all the same overhang.
Okay.
So we're talking about this thing right here. Is this what you're talking about, Carl?
Yeah.
This?
Yeah.
And over on the sides. Okay, got it. Bill, do you have any questions?
Is there any additional landscaping proposed with this renovation?
No.
Okay. And have the neighbors had any comments, or are they aware of your plans? Because it looks like there's neighbors on like two sides.
Not that I'm aware of. I suggested the homeowners take the plans to their immediate neighbors to talk about it. I think they did discuss with their neighbors that they were going to be doing an addition, but I don't know how much information they gave the neighbors.
And of course, we did send out a notice too for today's hearing.
I'll just state for the record, I visited several sites today and I didn't see any of those yellow sign placards on any of them. So that's kind of an important part of our notification process. I don't know if that was just happenstance or what happened, not just your project, but several of the projects that we've already talked about today, and we'll talk about later today. So that seemed to be kind of a hole in our notification process. On the east side of the home, there's a shed, and that will just be removed and placed somewhere else?
Yes, it's just going to be removed.
Oh, just removed. Okay. Yeah. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Any from you, Aaron?
No questions.
Aaron?
I just wanted to make the comment that I noticed as well that the yellow chloroplast signs were in absentia.
Okay. All right. Well, comments from the board. When we start with you, any?
That was the comment.
That was the comment. Okay. Greg?
No.
No comments? No. You have any comments?
I would agree with Carl's minor comment on the roof. I think it's pretty straightforward, simple project. Nice job.
Bill?
I guess my only comment would be to completely defer to the architects on this board, because it, you know, we see some of these things that definitely look like they're add-ons versus mm-hmm. something that's a homogeneous, nice project. It looked fine to me, but without any kind of better visualization other than the rendering that's provided here, I'm not completely sure.
I'm just, as I already admitted, I didn't make a site visit, but I probably wouldn't have seen this anyway. I guess I'm wondering, this, looking at these photos here, I'm assuming that's the water heater in a little enclosure there someplace?
Yes.
And are you moving that? Is that staying where it is?
That's staying where it is. It's on the back side of the garage.
Okay. I mean, overall, I'm fine with it. I'm in support of it. Two things, I guess. It seems like if we're going to all of the trouble to make this kind of addition, it would be nice to get that water heater moved into a internal location, and it appears as though the garage, just because of the shape, has that funny little corner that it could be moved to. So I would go for that. And then I'm just wondering what all of these trees are, if they're existing, and what kind of trees we have in the front yard. That's probably more of a question than anything, but
they're existing. I don't know what type.
What species? Okay, that's just conceptual. I'm good with conceptual other than moving the water heat.
I thought it was a pretty decent addition. I have really only one comment, and that was, well, a couple. And one was the existing house, if that's really the size of the windows, like it feels like there's a lot of vertical sort of proportion, and then this window, this double hung, is this wide thing that just feels weird, but you can't really see that because there's those shrubs in front of it. So, you know, when I went out to the site and saw that kind of went away for me. The little bay that you have here on the front of this gable, it's okay, I guess, but it feels like there could be something more with it, maybe. And I don't know if it's maybe the overhang's too small, or the pitch needs to be steeper, or, you know, all the other houses, not all of them, a good majority of the other houses there on gable ends have that Dutch gable where you've got a little bit of a sloping, you know, sort of shed that then comes up to a gable, although you don't have that on this gable, so I understand why that's not there, and it's not on the side here, but that's something that happens a lot over the neighborhood, and it just feels like there's a lot of blank space here that I don't know. I mean, maybe some of the houses around have the brick wainscot that kind of wraps around the whole thing, and maybe that's a solution, although yeah, this thing. This is what I'm talking about. This, you know, a lot of them have this kind of thing, right? So, and I'm not saying, I mean, I'm just noticing that that's in the rest of the neighborhood. With regards to the skirt going around to the side, you know, this being on a corner lot would then mean that brick's going to wrap around to this side, and you'd see it from the street, and so, you know, in a perfect world, you'd want it to go the whole way, and that's, I know that's adding an expense, but it would be worth considering if that's possible. Again, I'm not, I would just suggest considering doing something like that. I mean, like I said, that's, it's okay. It's not bad, but I think it could be better, perhaps. Would be my only comment.
I have a question, Scott. I didn't see the site, but could that be accomplished with shrubs that, in the obviously in the foreground, that sort of mask just like on the other side, how it...
Potentially, yeah, sure. You could maybe do some landscaping on the side that could make that work, but I think, I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe it's just that the eaves want to extend a little bit. You've got a lot, the eaves on the rest of the house are larger, and then you've got them, they're pretty tight on this, and I would assume that, I don't know if it actually goes like that or if the hips actually come up to the center like that. I don't know, I'm a little confused at what that's actually doing, but I think it feels like a little capped here. It could maybe get a little better proportion. Does that make sense? But other than that, I think it's an efficient layout and integrates nice with the rest of the structure, would be my comment.
Carl?
One other comment, as I was looking here, the looks like the entry form, which is supposed to be a gable in plan, is potentially going to need a post on the right-hand corner of that entry form as you walk up to it. I'm just looking based upon elevation and roof plan, but if you look at the roof plan on 1.3, A1.3, the gable over that entry form, it's hanging out there quite a ways without any support, and that might be an opportunity to kind of enhance that whole entry if you want to, so anyway.
That's true, yeah. All right. If there are no other comments, how about someone, we do a motion for conceptual, yes? I'm getting used to the new format.
Could continue this item
we
to...
We just continue it with our comments.
To a date certain, if the applicant's ready for June 14th or June 28th.
Does that work for you, either of those?
June 28th. So the motion would just read continue.
I'll move for continuance to June 28th with comments.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That takes us to item G2. Madam Secretary?
Item G2 is the Valerdev Residential Attic Conversion located at 408 Pacific Coast Road, case number 16058 DRB.
Okay, declarations?
I did not visit the site and had no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I didn't visit the site, but I looked at it on Google Street View. I don't know how current that was, but I looked at it there, and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
And no site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
My name is Carlos Grano. I'm the designer for the project. Just so I know, what does ex parte mean? What is that?
We didn't talk.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. I was like...
We've had no discussion.
Okay, no discussion. Very good. I'll let Joe start.
Good afternoon. Today we have a request for a conceptual review for an addition or conversion of existing attic space into 120 8-square-foot office on the second floor. This project is coming before you because it will be exceeding the maximum allowable floor area for the property, which is 2,286.25 square feet. They would also be allowed an allocation of 440 square feet for the two-car garage. It is currently, or would be, exceeding the allowable area by 26 feet approximately. All the materials are proposed to match the existing residents, and I'll just hand it over to the agent to walk you through the project.
Okay. I have one question for staff. The FAR, as I understand it, is that a guideline or is that a firm set number?
It's it's recommended, and then if it's going to exceed it, it just has to come to the design review board.
Okay.
Okay, very good. The client need was essentially he needed a little office space. So the most the easiest spot to put that in really was the attic. So I just want to show you a few pictures. Hopefully we can see those. I know that's not, I'm going to have to get up here.
Can we zoom in on that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
You want a pointer?
Okay, so.
There you go.
So we are standing in the middle of the street looking at the residence. This is the slope that we're going to be kind of addressing here. Again, standing in the middle of Pacific Oaks Road. I'm sorry. Standing in the middle of Pacific Oaks Road, that is the roof line that we're going to be addressing. This is in the middle of Pacific Oaks Road with a picture of the house directly across the street from the site. That is a picture of the house directly across the site. Where's this one at?
This is your house.
This
right?
is, yeah, there we are. I'm disoriented because I'm upside down here. This is the house. The site is to my back, and this is diagonal across the way there. The park across the street. This is a shot from Pacific Oaks Road, but the house is here.
Okay.
Behind the trees. Another view of Pacific Oaks Road, just a street view. This one, I'm trying to see where am I at. I think, is that the house there? I think that's the house there. That's kind of just farther down the road. More street views of Pacific Oaks Road. Now this is the actual house itself. This is the street elevation of the roof. Another one just from a different angle. This is with the park to my back. The roof line there. This is kind of the back side of the house where you wouldn't see it at all. I just took this to show the color and the texture that we're looking at. We're kind of just matching the same architectural details with the tongue and groove and the 2x6.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, can I flip these open?
Can we zoom back out? There you go.
So there's your site, and I'm just showing there that where it is in relation to the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to the floor plan. This is a demolition plan, just showing what area of the existing roof would have to get removed. So this is the second, you know, this is the second floor plan, and this is the area of work right here. So we're just creating a little office space for him here. The idea for him was that he wanted to get some, when he's at his computer, he wants to be able to kind of get some sunlight and look outside. So you'll see in section, this is the roof line that we are proposing. You'll see it better in elevation here in a second. So that's the street elevation at the bottom and the side views here. And so his wish, we tried to kind of keep it low slung a little bit here, so we're going with a 7-foot interior so that he can have his desk here and kind of have the outside view there. So just a few little sections crossed and longitudinal and just blown up in large details of the window and the venting and all that kind of thing. And those are just interior elevations.
Got it.
So
look at the plan again real quick. So we tried to stay, obviously, within the shell, so that's what we're doing. These mm-hmm. are existing walls on each side, and we just kind of essentially just lifted the roof just like that. And we're trying to keep it as unobtrusive as possible, and that's why the elevation, we just wanted it to kind of sit low like that. And I think that's it.
Okay. Questions from the board? Let's go down the other side. Aaron?
No questions, Chairman.
No questions? Greg?
No questions.
Aaron?
No.
Okay. Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I had two questions. One of them, the place where you're going to be changing the roof over on the south side of the home, there's vents there. Will those vents still be in the same location, or do those need to be relocated?
Those will probably just end up popping up, but if we can maybe remove them to the backside or something like that, so it's a cleaner roof line. It's not.
And
to do what? Sorry, what was your question again?
There's vents right to the rear of where they're planning to change the roof line and build.
Oh, existing there's attic vents?
Yeah, because there's a bathroom on the other side, and you can see the plumbing vents popping up.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good to pop them to the other side of the cable. I mean, to the ridge.
I kind of was thinking the same thing, but we wanted to, because those things just, here you can see them up here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll be having a roof come up in front of that anyway, so
right.
It'll have to be,
right.
Have to be addressed.
Yeah, exactly. They're either going to protrude or we can re-wrap them a little bit.
Okay.
And there's no issue about them being in proximity to the new structure. They don't have to be set back a certain distance because of what they're venting or anything?
Right,
like that.
Exactly.
No. Okay. And in terms of the water that will now come off the roof, is there any change in terms of the guttering or anything that you need to do?
Right now there's existing, you know, I haven't looked at that in detail yet, but we have an existing roof gutter there. I could do a calc and figure out if...
just something to think about as you're
That's
creating a new pattern.
Yeah.
And those were the only
questions
that I had.
Thank you. Carl?
No questions.
How about comments?
It's tough, but I think you've done a fairly good job of keeping minimal impact on it. On sheet A2.1, the south elevation, I'm guessing that just based on plan, you've got the existing rake that runs down there probably is not going to be there. Yeah, that's probably going to be gone because the two walls are flush. There is no roof there.
There will be that rafter, but no roof. Right.
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 So you plaster that, and that'll be in plane. So
right.
Yes.
You'll end that rake right about.
Yeah, I showed it in section two, I believe.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm good with it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward and low key.
Any comments, Bill?
Thank you, Chair. A couple comments. Just looking through the neighborhood, this is one of the more larger homes in the neighborhood, and notice that there aren't any similar conversions. It would have been nice to have a more of a visual depiction rather than just black and white, two-dimensional from various aspects to really get a better look of how it all comes together. But other than that, to me, this seems like a clever way of using the current structure to create what the client is looking for and seems to be fairly unobtrusive, and even though it exceeds the maximum allowable floor area for the property.
And just so you know, we did not get one of those yellow things either.
I
just want to make that clear, because, but I usually
don't
do a lot
of. If the neighbors are aware of your plans, that's probably a good idea.
I'll echo Bill's comments. For exceeding the FAR, you've done a really good job of nestling this addition into the house.
Right.
Yep. And I agree. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the exceeding the maximum allowable space. It feels like a use of otherwise unused empty space. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in support.
Same. I concur. I think it looks like Another drafting thing is, based on that picture, it looked like this actually kind of goes over. That doesn't really pop up there, does it?
I think it does, actually, because there's a flat roof on the other side. Let me check.
I don't know if I misread that.
There is a wall pop-up right there. I mean, maybe it's not that thick. There's the thickness there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, maybe it is a draft.
So it comes out, but that actually goes
across.
The
wall thins
like
up. Yeah, all right. But there's this right here.
That?
I believe that's wall. So it probably
ends
up.
So
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You might be in trouble with regards to egress windows there. Because that's probably going to be considered a habitable space, and I'm not
right.
sure those windows meet egress.
42-inch from the sill,
so
we're at 3.
So you
maybe
might have
okay.
to, these might have to be casements or something?
Yeah, I think...
So that's something you'll have to look at, which will kind of affect the proportion of what's going on there. But other than that, I think I agree with everybody else. It's a pretty good solution to take use of the house's existing attic space to add a little space. So I think it's a good solution. I could support this.
Okay.
All right. Anybody want to make a motion to continue? Anyone will need a date.
When do you want to, how soon do you want to come back?
What are the dates available?
14th and the 28th. Or the something in July, but...
In June.
So what exactly would I be coming back? Well, there's the roof gutter thing, and then the draft. What else would I be coming back for? Just so I'm.
Well, you're just taking our comments, which are just that, just comments. They're not. You have to do this. You have to do that. You need to synthesize everything we have said and see what works within your project, and then come back.
Mr. Chair, could
the windows.
We?
Okay.
Could we,
you'll get a list. Okay.
Could we ask the applicant if June 28th works for you? Because it's looking like there may not be a June 14th meeting.
Okay.
Given
let's do that. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Then I will move that we have completed conceptual review and will continue the project to June 28th meeting for design review with a few drafting clarifications and looking at egress windows for the office is all.
Okay.
Perfect. Do I get a second?
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great.
Thank you.
That takes us to item H1.
Item H1 is the Cajun Kitchen Facade Improvements at 6025 Cali Real, also known as 55 North Fairview Avenue, case number 16037 DRB.
Good timing.
Yeah. Man, you guys are going fast today.
Nice. That's the idea.
Like it.
Just a real quick lead-in here. The board last Friday.
Thanks to my survey.
We can't zoom out far enough. Board last saw this 4/12/16. they had some comments at that point. The board had some comments regarding bringing some of the metal down lower on the building to try and match Fairview Shopping Center a little bit more. Some comments on the seating area and the railing. So I think Paul Poirier can probably speak to these a little better than I. but I think he's this is his attempt to address your comments from last time. So unless you have any questions for me, I can pass it over to Paul.
Oh, real quick, declarations. Everybody?
I am familiar with the site, have had no ex parte.
Additional site visit, no ex parte.
Same.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have a no new site visit and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
All right. Well, you guys had good comments last time. I think it's easiest if we go to these perspectives on 3.2. Kind of see what we did to the building shape. So we're doing a galvanized fence between the seating area and the planter and the street. So we're going to put corrugated metal on there. There's some details in here where we're going to set some WT, galvanized WTs in as posts every 4 feet. So it's like a T shape. And then we're going to put the galvanized behind those T's and screw some wood to the face that we can just screw the galvanized to. So it'll be kind of a everything between these two rows of 2x4s is going to be galvanized metal, either corrugated metal or the backside of the T. Then the inside, you'd have the flange of the T sticking out, and we'd be screwing it on the backside, on the dining side. And it should make a nice backdrop for the plants. We got with Martha over at Arcadia Studio, did a planting plan, so we have that as well. Moving a couple of palms to accentuate the entrance. And we also added galvanized on the higher part of the building, and we're going to keep the painted slump stone down low where the metal would otherwise get dinged, and try to keep that same line of the existing windowsill running across the face of the building there. I think it looks pretty good.
And this thing.
Yeah. And then it ends over there because we're having a mural. I think they're going to do two art locations, one on this side of the building that kind of faces southbound Cali Real traffic. And then there's another area back here that faces the parking lot. So when people park in the parking lot as they're coming in, they'll have something there. They're not quite sure what yet.
I'm hoping it's a little kid riding an alligator. Just saying.
Corrugated on the existing equipment screens and pretty much it. I think it looks pretty good. This is kind of the street elevation. So if you're passing by in a car or walking, you'll see mostly galvanized because really the low part's hidden behind the screen wall for the dining.
What is the roof material?
It's going to be painted metal clip rib roofing from AEP Span, which is just kind of more of the same stuff we used over at the Fairview Shopping Center, although we didn't use this terracotta color.
As the board considers the pony wall there at the entrance that kind of has the seat on it. Yeah, thanks. We'll still need to go and discuss with Public Works on exact location of that with respect to the right-of-way. So,
oh, that's in the right-of-way?
Well.
Or partially? Or?
Partially. It still remains to be seen what Public Works will think about the portion that is in the right-of-way. So just know that if anything, it might get scooted back just a little bit. But they may be okay with where it's at.
All right.
But just keep that in
mind. Some more sight lines coming out? I don't think it's in the right of way.
It is in the right of way. It's just more of a question of are they okay with the height?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your survey shows it correctly.
No, this is a new wall, though. That's completely new.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Really? That's in the right of way?
The right of way is 10 feet from face of curb there.
Right. Well, this is the property line and the right-of-way, right? And the face of curb's out here.
Give us a scale. 1 to 10.
Yes, we need 16.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, we'll sort it out.
Anyway, I think it complies. It's more now for your information that this hasn't been fully vetted out by Public Works yet. Oh, okay. Here. If it was a snake, it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
push it in a little bit if it this is in fact right.
It's just the pony wall there, not the yeah. It's not so much the railing for the seating yeah, that area.
That one looks like it conforms.
Yeah, it's just the pony wall. So, but because it's only 36 inches high?
Yeah.
They may be okay with that.
Okay.
So, but just know that if anything, it might get moved okay. back.
And if so, we're talking inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
A foot or two, maybe.
Okay.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Trash enclosure matches the wall, so we're doing a beefier curb inside the trash enclosure so that the wall doesn't get touched by the trash bins, but we're just going to do corrugated on that as well. So we have all those details detailed out on the H8 sheets.
Got any exterior lighting?
We're not proposing any new exterior site lighting at this time. If we end up doing that, of course, we'll come back.
Is the trash enclosure covered? Does it have a... It
doesn't have a roof.
No roof structure on it of any kind?
Actually, it's on the A13s, I think.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Okay. Any questions from the board?
I guess I had a couple questions. Is the sign that was depicted, will that be coming before?
Yeah, it'll be a separate application.
That's not part of the overall sign plan for Fairview?
It is not.
So it's a standalone?
Yeah, it'll be coming before you with a separate application by the sign company.
And the depiction that you gave us here is just kind of a stand-in, not necessarily what you're
looking to do. Yeah, it's not really vetted out yet. It'll hopefully not be a white background.
Yeah, hopefully you made some great changes to make it appear related to the center across the street. So hopefully the sign will be in support of that.
It'll be the reverse channel letters or push-through letters, and that white part will probably be something that looks like wood, you know, so it looks like it's a wood-carved sign. It might be an actual wood-carved sign. You're still working that out with the sign company.
And that one tree in particular, the tree root problems out in the parking lot there?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the plan?
The plan is it's kind of taken over a couple of parking spaces, and mostly this parking space, and it's just kind of like just erupted through the pavement. So what we did with some of the trees at Fairview, we're doing the same thing. We got an arborist to come in and grind the root down. So we're going to grind this part down so that we can reconstruct that curb and put some below grade root barrier down a couple of feet to try to keep the surface roots from growing. But I know those trees are chronic, so it's just going to be ongoing. But we will be putting a curb there because it looks like it just ate up the curb that used to be there. Yeah, it was a ficus. It's a beast. And then there's a bunch of other beastly ones that have a lot of room back behind the center. And it's our intention to get with Arbor Services and have all of those thinned out like we did at Fairview Center. We were going to do it before last winter, but Rusty's in the process of just still operating there, and so it wasn't a good time to really cut. And right now we can do a good time, I think, to get in there and prune maybe a little later in the summer. We have construction going on, not like in the peak of spring when it really hurt the tree. So we're going to prune the ones we can and thin them out just so they'll be healthier and they won't drop branches. Those, I don't know if you looked at these ones in the back, but they're like solid trunk. You can't see any sky when you look up at that thing. It's like, you know, pretty incredible. So we were thinning them out about 50% and making it a tall canopy, and they seem to really like it because we have a lot of those over on the north end of Fairview out by in front of Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay.
Also relocating a couple of palms on the landscape plan. There are a bunch planted right on this corner. We're going to move them over more by the entryway to the tower.
And do you have landscape plans in this year? You guys want to see that? Oh, you did? Okay, good. Do you guys have questions?
Also, we narrowed the driveway in the back a little bit to get a little more planning and also to make it look less prominent for pulling in there. So that...
You narrowed the throat of the thing
there? We didn't change the curb cut, but we narrowed the part that's paved in the parking lot.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
So, where is the sign going?
The sign is on this side.
Down over here. Oh, okay.
There's a sign there. It's like a massive pole. And then we're going to propose putting some letters on the curved wall. On the front side, some dimensional curved letters. Yeah.
And Paul, as you were the author of the sign plan for Fairview Shopping Center, this property is not under that sign plan, right?
We didn't include it, no. And the Shell station actually also is not included.
Right, that's what I thought.
Just because the projects that were on the contiguous parcel on the other side of the street. But it is owned by the same people. They want it to have the same look, so we're probably going to get something similar because it's running through the same internal approval process.
Anything?
Landscaping looks good to me. Did you want to make a comment about the tree? Or no?
No, I'm good.
You good? That's about it. I would say I'm sure they're going to include a new smart controller, which is always standard these days.
Yeah.
But the plant choice and location looks good.
Okay. Aaron?
No comments.
No comments? Okay. Any comments this way?
No, I think it looks good. And I appreciate, even though those trees will be an ongoing maintenance issue for you guys, I appreciate that you're trying to keep them and going to deal with them. And I'm sure that'll mean dealing with parking lot issues down the roadways. But nice to see that. And but other than that, I think it's good. I'd tell you to use smaller paper next time. I hate big paper.
Yeah, you know, we sent this over via digital to our printer, and because the survey was on 30 by 42, he printed them all on 30 by 42, and I was like, dude, just you could have reduced that thing, you know? Yeah. It's a beast.
I did have one other question. Do you think it'd be worth considering pavers around those ficus trees in the parking lot? So when the roots do pop up, you can just reset the pavers? Just a thought.
We had some pretty good success with the, it's some kind of a thing the roots don't like that they put down.
Bio barrier.
Yeah, right. It had like little beads on it or something, and I don't know how that stuff works, but the stuff doesn't like to grow through it horizontally, but it'll probably grow under it and pop up on the other side.
It's just the parking lot's AC, right?
Yeah.
So by the time it pops up, it'll be ready to resurface anyway. So.
Yeah, I didn't know if we put pavers there, they'd be kind of permeable and provide a water source and probably accelerate the root growth, you know. But it's your area of expertise, not mine.
As opposed to concrete or asphalt? Is that what's...
Yeah, we'd be putting asphalt in just
to... Well, that's not permeable, so pavers wouldn't have to be permeable. But whatever you guys feel is... It's more just thinking long-term and whatever's economically... And construction-wise, whatever is more easy to accomplish.
All right. Well, did you have any comments, Bill?
I was just going to say that I liked this project when it was first presented, and I think after the comments and the response that it's an even better project now, so I'm very supportive of this.
Yeah, I guess my only comment would be I support it as well. I think you've done a great job. So, that said, can I get a motion?
I'll move to approve this, and I'll make the findings that this is compatible with the neighborhood, particularly since it's going to be looking like a part of the Fairview Shopping Center, and that there is quality of architectural design. It really fits in well with the Fairview Shopping Center and that corridor through there. Quality of landscape design, if this has met the approval of our landscape professionals, then it does represent quality. And this meets the current zoning, so there's no issues with that. So all the findings that we're required to make, I think that we can make, so I approve it as presented.
Okay, can I get a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There you go.
Awesome. I agree. Thanks for your comments. It did get better. So that's looking good.
All right.
You guys need all of them?
That takes us to item H2.
There you go, Brian. No.
Item H2 is the Old Town Village mixed-use project located at South Kellogg Avenue, west of Kellogg Way, case number 14026 DRB.
Okay, declarations?
I visited the site, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No new visit, no ex parte.
No new visit, no ex parte.
And same here.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay.
Mary, the floor is yours.
Okay. The board has seen this project several times. The last meeting of March 22nd, you granted design approval with the applicant coming back with some architectural design details, materials, colors, and some landscaping details. So the comments that were from the board was for the applicant to return, to submit elevations of all four sides of each building, to submit photometrics, submit an irrigation plan with specifications regarding reclaimed water, to submit accurate color board that reflects different options, to study the variations on the garage door colors and materials, and that the tree would have down lighting, and to replace the tipu tree. And so I should just go back on, for the record, this project is 175 townhomes consisting of 113 traditional townhomes, 28 shopkeeper units, 38 live-work units, and a community center. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Besley.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us, having the project. I think we have...
I'm not sure if you all have had a chance to review your packet, but I think we addressed each of the items pretty directly. We can just walk through them really quickly. It's just turn pages in the plan.
Great.
If that works. Actually, this first page is a revised color palette. This was our best attempt at connecting the color in the printing to the color in the color board, and I think we'll agree that that aquamarine is not quite there. But I don't know that we can do any better because we literally gave this to the architect. This is their in-house print and their in-house color. So these are the actual colors. Are they better reflected on it? Fantastic. We should never have done this, right?
Yeah.
All right, so this is the color board, and you can see the... you know, that aquamarine color is represented in something that's a little bit more muted. Exactly.
On our packet, it's almost perfect.
If only that, and that came from the ARC office in Ventura. So if only we had done that. Anyway, here we are. This is the color palette, and as we turn through the plans, you'll see we've colored at least one elevation, in some cases several elevations of every building type, and we have elevation drawings of every building type.
Okay.
All right. There are also some additional details that we've discussed through the meetings that I'll bring up. So the first two pages really haven't changed. You know, this is the layout. The future Equal Street will run through here, but in the meantime, we are providing a temporary road to here that'll end in a cul-de-sac until Equal Street's completed. This is the final design of the community center building, which sits in the middle of the project. This was the design of this, as you may remember, was a response to one of the earlier comments that the earlier proposal for this building was much lower, and it really didn't, you know, stand up very well to the building behind it being three stories. So we've come up with something that's a one-story The glazing on the front will be fixed, but the glazing on both sides will be accordion doors, so they'll open up entirely. And then if you see how that lays out in the site plan, it actually creates a pathway between the common area and outdoor kitchen and the live work area as it orients in the site plan. Some details of the bike rack, bike storage, which is built into the side of one of the buildings. This is also in orientation. This is the community building would sit right here. Okay. So it's right in the center of the project. Again, one of the organizing comments that we heard earlier on was bringing all of the amenities into the center of the project. So here we're going to begin for each building type. These are the live work townhomes, architecture on four sides.
I think, I'm just curious, maybe should we stop and talk about each type before we go on? Might make it a little bit more efficient than having to come back and stuff. Sure. So
maybe going back to the community building.
Okay.
If anybody had any comments on that.
Sure.
Because that was kind of the first depiction. Yeah. And then I think that's a good idea to just go.
So we'll kind of combine questions and comments, I guess, this way so we can sort of keep it going.
I just put that out there to start. I didn't have any questions or comments on that.
Anybody else? Anybody else not have questions and comments? All right. bike storage? Okay. Anybody have questions or comments with this one?
As we go through, I want to be able to understand. This is supposedly live work.
Correct.
In particular, building 29, which is an interior building.
Yeah, it's
do
right.
We have a I guess what I'm wondering is, do we have a color-coded here? Site plan?
Right here.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you very much. I'm just wondering, I just want to be able to understand probably, just for my purposes, I want to understand what's going to be colors along Eckwell and along Kellogg.
All right, we'll have in some other elevations a little further along in the plans, we'll have all of the sort of an elevation of Eckwell and an elevation on Kellogg.
And so these live work are the ones that are along the enhanced pedestrian?
Yeah, there's the first landscape page a little further back is L1, and it actually has given each building type a different color.
Okay.
So that might be a good way to see the difference. But these are the six buildings that create the live-work corridor through the center of the project.
Right. Okay.
These guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Does anybody have any comments about the elevations that we're getting to see the first time?
I've got a question.
Okay.
Are all the garage doors the same?
No, they'll be a little further back. There'll be a depiction of a couple of different garage door schemes with different colors.
They would apply to this?
Right. They would apply to all the garage doors. Correct.
So we're not going to have a case where it's the same garage door?
No.
Okay. Good. That was a comment I had on this.
Yeah, I think the comment from the last meeting was that we're going to try to make the garage doors and you'll see when the rear elevations are colored that they're sort of organized with the building. So it doesn't just go, gray, red, gray, red, gray, red. It says if this part of the building looks like it has a certain mass, then it has a different color. We will see a little bit further on.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
So these are the residential buildings, and these are in the lighter color on page L1. So these are more prevalent throughout the project. And again, here's the...
Okay. Does anybody have anything here?
I had a question, and maybe it goes back to the garages, but I noticed that there's a kind of a, on these, there's a little light that's placed over the garage?
Yes.
Is that going to be the same for all of the garages?
Yes, it'll be the same light for all the garages.
And is that light going outwards, or is it shielded downwards?
Shielded downwards.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Okay.
So this is a depiction of the building, which is a residential building, but it's different in that it has its garage door oriented the same side as its front door. So these are all of the homes that are along the western and southern edge.
Building one, that's these
guys. So this would be buildings 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
These.
7, and then on the, at where Kellogg Ave is, sorry, Kellogg Way, about 15 and 16. Correct. And then these two buildings.
And these guys.
Yes.
And the two fiber cement colors there on your color board reflect the
it'd be this two, this right, siding material here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And these are elevations for the shopkeeper buildings that face Kellogg Ave, two buildings on Kellogg Ave, and seven buildings on Equal Street.
I'm sorry, I want to go back a second. I just remembered something. And I don't know if it's the same on this. One more, SP6. Ah, that's different. Explain to me. On my packet, is this a ladder going up? What?
That is on that set of plans. That's a ladder to access the air conditioning units on top of that building, but it's been removed. So we've actually just created access through the units to the roof. So there will be no ladders on the sides of the buildings.
No further comments,
yeah,
Your
this,
Honor.
This will, if I'm correct, this sort of becomes the submittal set against which the construction drawings will be compared, right? So this is the final.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, here we go.
All right. So here's a set of buildings, the elevation along Equal, showing a collection of that of the shopkeeper building type standing together.
But those internal ones beyond.
Correct. Those are the first two shopkeeper.
Right.
Live work buildings.
The live
back
work.
Here.
I'm just going to make a bold assumption, I could be wrong, is that in looking at this streetscape, the unit that you drive, but the two units, it looks like it's a mirror kind of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we decide what color goes on which building? One has the golden oak,
mm-hmm.
right? And the other one has that bluish, so is that defined in here, or is that just representative at the moment?
I think it's representative, but I think at this point we're this is the color scheme we're intending to go with. So if this, we can call this the final color scheme.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just wondering if it's defined someplace specifically.
It at this point it is not, other than on these elevations.
Okay.
I had a question. What are these walls at the entrance? Are they signage walls or?
They're sort of planter walls, so they're going to create some seating, but it's really just if you look on the landscape plan L1, it's a place to add some additional planting and to pick up some grade if we have to pick up some grade.
These little guys here?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, so they're just little retaining walls, terracing.
Is hard to depict in these drawings at this level is the grade change that's going on. So our grade, our high point for this project is here and draining down towards Kellogg Ave. The high point for the street is here for Equal, and that's based on the master design for the street as it will be completed in 2018-2019. So we know we're going to have to pick up some grade somewhere in here. So it is intended as a decorative element, but we are going to try to build in it some sort of planter. This will not have, however, like a placemaking sign. We wouldn't, we won't, it won't say Old Town Village on it. It'll just be a planter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there signage intended? Will it say Old Town Village?
No, the only signage would be for the shopkeeper units that you see here.
Are you planning to submit for an overall sign program at some point?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think that's actually part of the process, right, with through the planning department.
This one, however, would not have, it would be signage just for the commercial component.
Right.
So no, you know, like typically, right. Since it's for sale units.
Okay.
And then these are the same configuration of buildings, the shopkeeper buildings, but this is Kellogg Avenue, so this would be the vehicular entrance, and then this is the beginning of the community garden.
The gardens are behind this wall.
Correct.
Okay.
And is that wall one of the walls that's required for the flood prevention?
That's correct. So all of this, these low walls will be a poured-in-place concrete wall painted or covered with a light stucco that will eventually form this flood wall for the 100-year storm until our FEMA application is complete, in which case then we won't need the wall. But for now, we have to assume that we're going to have to build the wall.
Okay.
If only the city of Goleta could get FEMA under their control.
Right. So here are these are some different configurations of how we would, you know, color the garages. So it's not a, you know, again, it's not a just an alternating color. We're trying to find some organization so it matches the buildings. So we just put together a couple different schemes.
In addition to different colors, are there different materials? That was in our comments package, was colors and materials for variation.
I apologize. I didn't catch that comment. I thought we were just looking at different colors. But a different material is, that's a relatively quick change. Sure.
Yeah, if you could go beyond just colors, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, anything that has a different
texture.
Yeah,
whether they have, you know, it's a four breakup or a four panel or a six panel or three or whatever.
Yes, we can do that. So the overall landscape plan hasn't changed very much. There's actually some details. This is the last rendering we were able to do at this level, but you'll see some additional details as we go a little further in that have been modified based on comments from the design review board. So this is the lighting plan. The lighting now is all, there are no uplights in the trees, only downlights. So that is reflected here. These are all downlights in the trees.
And my eyes aren't good enough to read our little reduced. How tall is the parking lot pole on that upper right hand? Yeah, that one. How tall is that? Do we know?
It should be 9 feet. And I would have to open it up in the PDF and
right,
look at it.
It's in that 9 foot mm-hmm. range?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
And just out of curiosity, in lighting, what's the highest run that you have to make to put electricity up? Lighting up into what, a tree? What's the highest that you'll actually be illuminating?
We actually haven't determined that. I think we were looking at, it's really path lighting. It's not meant as a, you know, to create
down.
A cascading down. It's okay. Just we have light. We have these small lights here in the red that are, you know, very low profile that are just casting light across the path, and then some down lights, you know, at the ends, some of these areas, just to create some accents. These are some of the same design images we've seen before, just some of our inspiration for the community room,
mm-hmm.
the grass hill in the community area, the poured-in-place concrete walls. These are lights, LED light strips underneath the built-in planters.
These down here?
Correct. So in the lighting plan, if you want to see those, they're, you know, in the strip. So in the live-work pathway area, it'll be underlit.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Usually the examples of the bike racks.
Mm-hmm.
For the shopkeeper units, is there any mention of how late those can be open? And
I think we...
How late do sign?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be in the CC&Rs. I don't think there's any... If there is any restriction for the city, then it would follow that. I think there's a general rule in the CC&Rs. You have to, you know, comply with local ordinances. But we haven't put any restriction on it at this point.
Yeah, there wasn't a condition regarding that in the project. I think the project design is intended to be pretty low commercial intensity use.
Yeah, and the organization of the homeowners association that governs all this, usually you end up with, you know, something that is more palatable to the homeowners and more restrictive to the shopkeepers. So there was a question that came up about the purple pipe. And so what we did is we added a note here because at this point there is not a reclaimed irrigation line that would serve this. So when we go to install the irrigation system, we'll go back to Goleta Water District and we'll have to have them review the plans and follow whatever they require for the purple pipe at that point. So we just added a plan and noted where it would be applied in the irrigation plans.
I just wanted to make mention of it, that as I recall correctly, the latest information is that the Eckwell punch through is going to be further out than maybe originally hoped for mm-hmm. or anticipated due to SB CAG and things like that. So I don't know how far into the future that will actually be when mm-hmm. they punch through Eckwell, and then also then you get the reclaimed recycled water service to the property, but the planting schedule is good for whether it's potable water or recycled water. So whenever it arrives, it really doesn't matter to your project one way or the other.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, when we ran by the plant palette, when our landscape architect went through the plant palette, there, you know, we're looking at an increased salinity in a reclaimed water, and that's the real concern. And they thought that the plant pallet would work equally well in both situations. So this note's been added to all the irrigation pages.
Okay.
Irrigation details.
When I was looking at the weekend, it's like there's 40 pages. Good job. Good job, Aaron.
That's a lot of irrigation.
It's a lot of irrigation.
I think I've already shared my feelings about the submittal requirements.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's the rest of it's all irrigation.
Well, the rest of it, what it gets into, actually, just a few other little details back here, is that this is the landscape and planting plan. So the irrigation plan then applies to, you know, specifically which areas are irrigated. This has all been, you know, we've had an irrigation consultant do all the water demand study. It's actually all required to submit to the Goleta Water District, you know, for their demand calculations as well. So it's all been, we're actually, you know, pretty much 50% through CDs at this point. On the irrigation. And then I think what's interesting here is that it's not on this plan. Okay. Is here, we did hear the comment last time about the entrance to the community garden being moved further away from the entrance. So It hasn't been picked up on the overall site plan just because that's like an older CAD version and they're now drafting at this level. So you can see the entrance has been moved as far over as possible in the community center.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So.
And the last sheet, the photometric, is that?
This is the full-size photometric, finally.
You couldn't read that one at all?
That's where I'm going to read this one.
Ay, caramba.
I'll email this if you want to take a closer look at it.
You guys are scratching their head about the photometrics.
Is the fertigation system for what? Do you know what specifically it's for?
I'm sorry?
Do you know specifically what circuits or what trees or plants the fertigation system is?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
Another question is the two-wire system has its advantages and disadvantages. It's quite expensive. Each valve needs a decoder. It's really expensive to build. It's more advantageous if there's going to be continuous expansion for engineering reasons, but I'm just wondering why you guys chose that system. I mean, it's great to use that technology if you have the budget for it, but it's quite a bit more expensive.
I think, and you, I mean, you clearly know more about this than I do, quite honestly, but I think it was because we're looking at, you know, with a system like that, you just have more control over a larger part of the
area. You can keep expanding without having to get back to one original point of demarcation for electrical service to, you know what I mean? Right. You can keep just adding.
And I think that also helps in, because this project is built in phases,
yeah,
so you're going to have, you know, the part at the southeast corner built long before this.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's probably why it was chosen, I would think.
I've heard once you go over 50 valves, it's actually not less expensive.
Oh.
To do two-wire. That's what Rainbird told me. But
anyways, irrigation looks. This is just really minor detail, but I really don't like the drip manifold system that you guys have on the trees. I find that they're really problematic. I find that they're vulnerable to. I just find that standard drip irrigation is or bubblers it would be bubblers, depending on the irrigation needs of the trees. Mm-hmm. But I find that the situation with these is that it needs lateral. It's, again, a lot more expensive, and it's higher maintenance and problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It requires running lateral lines everywhere instead of drip tubing.
Which page is that?
Page L503. Mm-hmm. So this is just more throwing in my two cents for budget and for also functionality of the system. It's detail B.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of running a pop-up with PVC pipe and then running your drip tubing to all the plants in that zone, you actually have to run lateral hard pipe everywhere.
Mm.
And then these things they require a valve box, so you've got a million valve boxes everywhere. Mm. They're ugly, and I find that it's just another component to fail.
Mm.
So drip irrigation isn't perfect either, but I would say much more efficient could be inline emitter drip tubing, which is very controlled in terms of the amount of irrigation it'll give to each plant. Then you don't have the emitters that can fail and so on. So that's just a suggestion.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
The spaghetti tubing in general it gets pulled off.
Yeah. It's a teeny,
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right. Is that it?
I think so. I mean, I want to make sure I've addressed everything. I think the tipu tree has been replaced with a different species of tree. The uplighting is gone. Variation in garage door colors, I would look forward to some direction on that. I'll look forward to your comments.
Okay. For this? No, I'm going to have no speakers left. All right, so if there are no other comments at this point, how does the board feel about, with regards to a motion?
Chair, I've got some questions.
Sorry.
If we can get to it.
Go ahead.
By
all means.
So, and just wanted to say, last meeting in this, you kept a detailed list and went through it point by point. I appreciate that. And just to clarify one thing you said Equell is looking to be completed 18-19 time frame, or 17-18.
The state of the city a few weeks ago, I think that was what we heard.
And then the trees in front of the shopkeeper homes on Equell and Kellogg, am I reading it right that those are the maidenhair, and what height will they be? Because they're not shown on those views from the street that are drawn up here.
So that would be on page LP 103-104, and
okay.
You know, it's not. It is not called out, that specific tree. I believe. Oh, here it is. It's the. Looks like the note on page LP103 is pointing it out. It's the Ginkgo biloba. You're right.
Okay.
So it's the main here.
And then, do you know?
36 inch box.
Right. Greg, you know.
Show me the location again. On the. It looks it's in front of the shopkeepers.
They can right. get pretty tall if they're a normal tree. But we got right. two What's people down there, closer to you.
The question is about the ginkgos between the buildings.
How tall do they get?
How tall?
How tall, you know, is a 36-inch box to start, and how tall?
36 to start is nice. They're a little more vertical than branching. I think that's a good choice between yeah. the building. They're pretty slow growing, fairly slow.
I'm just noticing that the signage is at the 8-10 foot mark, and then sets of three trees repeated oh. down the walk. Hmm. So.
Veiling signs, possibly.
Right. Because the view from yeah. Eckwell and Kellogg looks great. And then I just in cross-referencing, it's not showing the trees there, so that's why the question came up.
Out along Eckwell, that seems like a lot of trees to me.
Hmm.
And three per planter.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, I mean, if these were, I mean, if they had a maintenance program to be pruned at a certain interval or pruned in such a way that the canopy started, you know, at 8 feet or 10 feet, would that, I think that's one response. The other response, I think, is that this is, I think it's not meant to live like Hollister, where you're going to drive by and see, you know, one sign for a 20-foot storefront. This is, I think, more to be experienced as a pedestrian area. So I mean, I, you know, first of all, I appreciate that, you know, a feedback from a design board is to reduce the amount of planting. It's usually the other direction.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's a, you know, an interesting proposal that maybe these want to be, you know, either spaced apart more so there aren't, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe there's three sets of three, or maybe there's five sets of two. I don't know if the pairing of a tree looks strange. As opposed to a set of three?
Right now, it would exist more as almost a hedge. I mean, that's pretty dense planting for a mature tree. It's going to be hard to maintain an attractive branching mm-hmm. architecture with them.
What if we were to propose putting one tree in each tree well, but upsizing it so that it starts as a taller tree?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, those planters really only need one. I mean, maybe a few of them could have two trees, but... Mm-hmm. Three ginkgos, and this was crammed.
Yeah, three seems a bit dense to me, okay. as the layman.
No, I think it's a great suggestion. I mean, and saving you money. If we were to reduce the number of trees, we could upsize the size of the box to put in there.
Yeah, so. The more mature mm-hmm. and give up a few.
It's a great choice, though.
Also, some say the bigger the box, I mean, it's not necessarily always a good thing to mm-hmm. have a huge box tree because sometimes you actually have problems with nursery grown trees mm-hmm. that are grown that long mm-hmm. in a container. So
sure.
study your, let okay. your landscape.
Well, I mean, I think our I appreciate the feedback, and I think that it actually, looking at it, it does make a lot of sense to just reduce the number of trees in those planters. In my mind, two trees, paired trees, just doesn't yeah. feel right. You know, it almost wants to be one. And again, maybe we reduce the size of these planters instead of having five, have six, so you end up with six trees. Maybe five is the right number. Mm-hmm. But and you know, I think the suggestion of going with a larger box size is only to, you know, sort of compensate sure. for the fact that we're not installing this same
just
amount.
To study,
sure. Basically. Okay.
I would agree to study the layout to achieve enough screening and enough. You know, you want a certain density.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on that same note, I don't want to keep commenting, but
The Brisbane bot. Let's see, what building is that? Sheet LP103, same sheet. Mm-hmm. This grouping of five Brisbane box trees that are 36 right. inch box.
Right.
You really only need three at the most there, and I don't think you can even get that tree in a 36 inch box because
mm-hmm.
it grows so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I would reduce there too if okay. you're so inclined.
All right, and then I had basically the same question on LP101. Just the density of the trees. It's better to start off. And I did want to clarify one point. Is there any parking intended right there along Kellogg? You know.
No, it's
Right. So there's the cutouts obviously on Eckwell
mm-hmm.
and nothing on
right.
Kellogg. Okay, just wanted to confirm. Yeah. And again, I'll defer to the compatriots here that really know what they're talking about, but that density on the trees, it's a whole lot closer. Just seems just a
On which trees?
The pines.
LP101 on the was that the east
side? Oh, I see.
Right there on the trace along Kellogg.
Those uh-huh. Pinus eldarica gets 40 feet wide, and you've got six of them there.
Mm-hmm. So reduce the number total?
I think that could be just a general comment on the
sure.
planting.
Just study.
Study reducing number of trees.
Like
the groupings.
The groupings and the ultimate canopy size.
And determine the, you know, something to study is determine the ultimate growth, not only the growth habit of the tree, but what you want to achieve in terms of, do you want density where each tree is limited in how much it can branch, or do you want a full spread?
Mm-hmm.
So if you plant for the future, it's going to be obvious, it's going to take some time to grow in, mm-hmm. but to think in those terms,
sure.
something worth studying for sure. The pines would be, again, it would be quite vertical. It'd end up being just all vertical, very dense.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd lose some of the benefit of the long-term branching.
Right.
And then the last question I had is, I think, very small. Which could you just point out which sections are being put in what phase? What's phase one? What's phase two?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You mean the phasing of the construction?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Do you want, I can point it out here. Phase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 11, the last part here. And they're actually, these may end up going back into phase 11 because we have overhead power lines that we have to remove first before we can construct these. So maybe not the last phase, but they might get moved into the third phase so that we can take down these power lines, underground them while we're building out this part. And then once they're undergrounded, we can start construction there.
So the shopkeepers, they're on Kellogg, are phase 1 but may go to 3.
Right, only due to having to underground the power lines.
And the amenities will be available at the beginning?
Yes, they'll be in phase 2. So phase 1 is the pool area, and phase 2 includes this whole area here. I think it's these buildings all the way around there.
And I just thought of one more thing. Just for the record, anything that could be done to, as soon as that purple pipe gets laid down, to get the boxes changed over and that water used,
mm-hmm.
the faster the better.
Absolutely, yeah. It is becoming, you know, when energy efficiency was a really big thing in marketing in 2008, but I don't think anybody was actually paying attention to it. It was something that, you know, builders were trying to get in front of. Now it actually is, we're finding it really is a marketing, you know, huge marketing plus. People are very interested in learning about their solar systems and their reclaim water systems.
All right. Anybody would like to conclude everybody's comments? Yeah?
Yeah, no worries.
I I had none more than I had already spoken. So,
so procedural-wise, Mr. Chair, you did, the board gave approval at the last, or March 22nd, so we're here for your comments, and what we'll do next is to, when they're submitting for building plans, that staff will do a conformance review.
Okay.
So for your next minutes, it would be great if you all take a look and make sure your comments are captured. So we're going to be using those minutes to do the conformance review.
Okay.
So we don't need a motion. It's more completing the process for DRB.
Okay.
If that's what...
Yeah, does anybody else have any comments they want specified?
Other than that, feels weird to not make a motion. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I would like to commend you on your efforts. I think it's a much better project from where we started from way back when. So, yeah, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, and I'll only say this one more time because now I feel like I'm... This is just over the top, but I this process has been the most sort of constructive design review process that I've ever been involved in. I mean, it's just to hear these sort of comments about, you know, landscape. You guys have more experience in terms of landscape design than I do, and so this is going to help the project be even better. So again, I if ever this issue goes to City Council to kind of talk about the design review board process and how it fits into the approval process, I'm more than happy to testify. So, cool. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. And on that note, do we have any announcements by any members?
Chair, I actually, it's not really an announcement, but I did have a question of staff, if, or a couple questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just in terms of DRB participation, Fire Station 10 out in West Goleta looks like it's moving forward. Will that ever come back to the DRB, or was that finalized in terms of its review?
It's never been here, has it?
I would guess that we would bring that to DRB. I don't know where we're. I mean, that would be. Yeah, I will double check and make sure, because that seems like that should come.
It seems it's a joint project with the county,
right,
and with the city, and so I was just wondering what level of the city's participation might include some sort of DRB input,
or at a minimum maybe advisory.
Yeah. And also, MTD is installing bus shelters. I know in the city of Santa Barbara they're real particular about bus shelters. Is that's something that ever comes before the DRB when MTD changes bus shelters or adds bus shelters to places that didn't have them before?
I don't know that answer. I know that in new projects, it's part of the project review.
At Easton used to have them.
Yeah. Some time ago, we went through a whole review of their what they were proposing, and MTD does have a standard,
mm-hmm,
of which Scott, as Scott referred to, Ed made a little tweak on it. But so there's a standard, is my understanding, from MTD. So I think they all look the same at the moment.
Okay. Thank you for allowing this comment.
Mr. Chair, I had something.
Yeah.
Has everyone driven by the Hollister Village project, the signage?
No, not recently. I have not.
I'd hate to end on a negative note, but I think we kind of missed the ball on those monument signs, the two dueling monument signs fronting Hollister. I think having two signs there just is out of character.
Overkill.
Yeah. The signs themselves are a little too large, and especially the two dueling signs that I know we fought on that, but I think those slip through the cracks.
I will look.
I agree.
All right. Well, then we are adjourned.
Wouldn't give a dime to be